Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
That's what we're going to get kicks on Route 66 with Michael Sean Comerford. Michael, are you there?
I love that. Wee-haw! You're in the spirit, man.
I am. Are those friends of yours who were singing Route 66?
Well, they became friends of mine. What happened to me is I was bicycling from Chicago to L.A. From February to May of this year, and started in a snowstorm and ended up in the Mojave Desert. I was crossing it, and when I kind of boinked, I couldn't go any further. I laid down in the sand, and it was over 100 degrees, and I was getting more dehydrated, and I was really in trouble. And this guy came by in a kind of a golf cart. He says, "Well, I'm over here at the Mojave Cultural Center. I'll give you a sandwich and some water, and you can rest up there." And when I got over there, he says, his wife says, "Well, we entertain at a local dude ranch, and we sing and we tell stories." And so they went over, and they came over as I was resting, and they brought their guitars. They told stories and sang songs, and I recorded them. Sounds good.
Yeah, it does. Why? What made you decide to do this?
It came to me in a dream in February.
Wait a minute. It came to you really in a dream?
Yeah, it came to me in a dream. I had been thinking about slow journalism. It's a phrase coined by another journalist named Paul Salopek, formerly of the Tribune. He's won two Pulitzers. He's also on a walk around the world right now called Out of Eden Walk.
And, no kidding.
But he is, his theory was, and mine, was that, the slower you go, the more you'll see, and the more you'll understand. And so I thought, well, the polar vortex had just gone past, and I thought about, well, I'd like to go slow across the country and learn more about how people are surviving COVID, living with COVID. Most people don't die of COVID. Most people live with it and adapt as we have through all of history. We've lived with the pandemics and plagues, and the stories we tell ourselves are how we adapt. And so that dream sparked me, and I realized then that some big landmarks were coming up, like 500,000 dead and 1 year of the pandemic being declared a pandemic, and also the vaccine, the greatest vaccine rollout in all of history was happening. So I thought I had to get going, and despite the fact that it was still snowing, I got on my bike, and much to the chagrin of my 15-year-old daughter, who thought, "Dad, this is a death ride." She actually embraced me and put her head on my shoulder and cried and said, "Dad, don't go." But I, because maybe she thought I was out of shape and wouldn't make it. And but I got in shape as I started riding along, and it really is America's main street. And we go through all the small towns. You go over mountains and deserts, and you go through the mesas and big cities, and you listen to every kind of person telling 5-minute stories about how they're surviving COVID. That was the basic idea behind the whole trip.
But what about you? I mean, that's fine to find out how they're surviving COVID. You're like riding around on a bicycle across the United States, stopping everywhere to find out how they're surviving COVID. What about you surviving COVID? I mean, what about the guy on the bike? Come on.
I heard your, John Records Landecker, I heard your introduction at 7 o'clock, and you clearly think I'm a madman. but I actually called one of my former professors at Poynter Institute down in Florida, and I said, "Do you have any suggestions about this project?" And he said, "Don't go," because he thought I was going to get it. And what he didn't say, and I later thought of it, which was, I might get it, and I might spread it. And at the time I left, there was a 9/11 happening every day, more than that's how many people were dying, and so it is a bit risky. And I didn't get it. I got vaccinated in at a Walgreens in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and I lived to tell.
And you this is on your bike trip. You were in Albuquerque.
Yep. I was in Albuquerque.
Route 66.
I had a breakdown in Albuquerque too.
What kind of bike did you?
Met a lot of great, good Samaritans along the way. Americans with generous hearts helping me out. And
what kind of bike did you use?
Well, that's a funny story to me. Anyway, I had my bicycle stolen in the mid 1980s, and it was a silver Panasonic. And, when I came up with this idea, I had to buy a bike, and I went on Craigslist. Some guy on the north side says he's got a silver Panasonic. I met him for $200. I bought a 40 to 50-year-old bike, and I looked at it, and it was the exact model, exact color, exact features of my old bike. And I wondered, hey, is this the hot bike I lost in 1985?
Say, dude, you steal this bike from me, man? But that's go ahead.
So I hopped on that bike, and we made some repairs. I got a bike shop to make some repairs and got along, and had to make repairs along the way. And I have a special connection to Route 66 too, because my dad married my mom in the late 50s, and he had to go off to join the Navy and from Wisconsin go down to California to report to duty. So they honeymooned on Route 66. So I'm very May, and I was born 9 months later. I very May have been conceived in one of those cheap motels along Route 66.
Ah, yes. Well, you know, there is Route 66 is immortalized over the years in so many different ways. There was a television series way back called Route 66, and I think it had two guys traveling Route 66 in a Corvette. And
having adventures.
And having adventures, which brings me to your adventures. I mean, let's get this straight. You're on a bike, and you're going to go from Chicago to Santa Monica Pier, because that's where Route 66 ends. You're going to have to eat. You're going to have to sleep. You're going to have to, you know, bathe or, you know, whatever. How? I mean, you're just on a bike. Did you pull something behind you, like a tent or a?
I had a tent and a sleeping bag with me, and I slept out in cemeteries and church properties, and I slept in forest preserves. I accidentally slept in the parking lot of a cement mixing factory and almost got run over by a cement mixing truck. And the fact that I didn't get run over, the woman who was driving the truck said, I almost ran you over. And then I said, don't worry, I'm going to move. But by the way, I'm on this Route 66 interview project. Would you like to be interviewed? She said, I'm not afraid of much, but I'm afraid of the internet, and I don't want to be interviewed.
Yeah, right.
So I have over 100 interviews, and
we're going to find out
my webpage.
Okay, hold on. We're going to do more about this because there's a ton of questions about, just think about it, taking on Route 66 on a bicycle. Mm-hmm. We'll do more when we come back on 720 WGN. John Landecker in the middle of Route 66 with Michael Sean Comerford, who decided to ride a bicycle from Chicago to Santa Monica Pier in California along Route 66. Tell us a little bit about your background, first of all, before we get
I was a newspaper man. I worked for a variety of papers, including the Tribune, the Sun-Times, the Daily Herald for 12 years. I worked in Budapest in Hungary, and I worked in Moscow and the New York Daily News.
Wow.
And so I was looking for a journalism project, and I came up with this idea called, I call it the story cycle, Americans in a Pandemic, bicycling Route 66, collecting COVID stories.
How about collecting food? How did that work?
Well, you know, that was wild because, you know, there's a lot of nostalgia that goes along the Route 66.
Yes.
It doesn't all exist, by the way. I mean, 85% of it, they say, exists. That's the estimate. But the Adventure Bicycling Association has a corridor that they suggest you ride. And along there, there are businesses that harken back to the 50s and 30s and 40s and 60s. And so you get old-fashioned diners that have Route 66 jukeboxes,
right.
You know, and yeah. things like that. And so, you know, I'd stop into these diners and see what kind of history they have. But there's Walmarts along Route 66 still.
Sure. So well, I think
I go by, get some granola bars.
Did you have any trepidation of running into any kind of trouble?
I've been asked that a lot, and I did not. I thought I was going to be surprised by how much the kindness and generosity of people,
yeah.
and that's what happened. They were articulate, generous, and people's opinions about COVID are all over the map. Conspiracy theories about religion, about fatalism, about folk remedies, but they are overwhelmingly welcoming to a stranger passing through town, especially along Route 66.
So is that oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you go.
Is that about, 2,500 miles?
Yeah, I say it's 2,500 because I got lost a couple times. Also, a bridge washed out, so I went around. It took me 140 miles out of the way. So, yeah, 2,500 miles is what I quote.
Did you run into all types of weather in this journey?
Yes, sleet, hail, rain, snow. Wind that was 50 mile an hour headwinds. I crossed the Continental Divide in a snowstorm. I slept out in the desert, and I counted a million stars above me. You know, it was serene. It's a serious project. You didn't want to be too happy about it because it's really about COVID.
Right.
But I couldn't help it. I really enjoyed the ride and seeing America in all its beauty and meeting the people. I'm a people lover, and I'm in awe of so many people and what they're, how articulate they can be. This trip really deepened my understanding of where they're coming from and how they're adapting to this horrible scourge on us.
Well, you know, they said practice social distancing, and certainly lying out in the middle of the Mojave Desert qualifies as social distancing. What is the result of all this?
I'm trying to get a book written. I wrote a book and published it last year called American Oz, An Astonishing Year in Traveling Carnivals at State Fairs and Festivals. I promoted that through the year, and this year I'm going to hopefully finish a book by the end of the summer and maybe a documentary. And in both of those cases, I'm trying to capture the zeitgeist of America. And those traveling carnivals, I was in 10 carnivals in 10 states, from California to New York, Alaska to Mexico. And in Florida, I was in a freak show, but I wasn't stage because they didn't see the inner freak in me, John.
I don't think it's so, an inner
both of these books aim at that, at interviewing people and getting at what they think and who they are and at this point in history. And I'm being backed by the University of Florida Samuel Proctor Oral History Project, and they're archiving these videos. And I'm going to get into this when I get into the book. I don't know. There's got to be truths and threads and themes that weren't immediately in front of me when I did the interviews. And I think thinking about them more, I'll get to the bottom of, I'll be coming up with new stuff by the time the book comes out.
And there is the Story Cycle YouTube channel where you can.
There is. Yeah. It's called the Story Cycle, Americans in a Pandemic. And there's 100 videos there. Some of them highly eclectic people. One guy who went out and out to his barn and took the dewormer that he usually gives his cattle, and he swears it cured him of COVID. And another person swearing that religion saved him. It was a miracle. God saved him. Wow. And so it's all different experiences and all ways of adapting. Like we have since we evolved. Right. And I think it's so interesting and so articulate, and it's magic. It really is. And the fact that it's America's Main Street, they call it America's Main Street because so many small towns, it is their main street. You go through town and it's Route 66 is their main street.
Well, thank you, Michael. Thank you so much for being with us. And I'm going to check out that a Story Cycle on YouTube, and I can't wait to finally to see what you end up writing about and the book that'll come from it. Thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you, and it's an honor to talk to the great John Records Landecker. Thank you.
Really? Okay.
Just take the compliment and smile.
I am. Michael Sean Comerford, riding across the USA on a $200 40-year-old bike.